Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. If you say, The Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Today is the first Sunday of Lent, when we reflect on Jesus' temptations in the wilderness for 40 days. For Jesus, it was a time of preparation for his ministry on earth, as he came fully into consciousness of his humanity and divinity. For us, it's a time to look afresh at our faith, not out of guilt and shame, but out of a renewed desire to seek God. We reflect on our lives, our temptations, and what we can learn from Jesus in his own time of temptation. At the start of his ministry, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Jesus has a lot to think about. What does it mean to be God's Son in a world that has been blighted by human sin and evil forces since Adam's fall? And what sort of Messiah should he be? And it doesn't sound as if he got an awful lot of peace in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Yatta, I suppose. And what of the devil? When we think about the devil, think more of him as the accuser, which is the translation from the Greek diabolos, like Satan in the book of Job. Less pitchfork and fire, and more subverter and disruptor. So the scene is set for a battle between Jesus, Son of God, fully human, and the devil. And it's full of Old Testament references. In particular, the story of the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, where, as Tom Wright puts it, they grumbled for bread, flirted disastrously with idolatry, and put God continually to the test. And they themselves failed as well. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy about the divine law given by God through Moses. As we look at the scene in the wilderness, we might see it literally as the devil talking to Jesus and leading him to the high place in Jerusalem. We might see it as Jesus' inner struggle, wrestling with the meaning of his messiahship. We might understand it in the manner of ancient Middle Eastern tradition, where important truths are told in simple graphic stories. But however we understand this passage, what Christ experienced in the wilderness profoundly affected and shaped his understanding of what it meant to be the Messiah. So the first temptation. Together with Tim Keeler in our congregation, we have found this absolutely wonderful painting by Ivan Kromskoy of Jesus in the wilderness. And this is helping me a great deal in my own reflections this Easter, and I hope it will be of benefit to you. It shows the wilderness dry, stony, very few straggly shrubs for cover or eating. And it shows Jesus brooding, focused, resolute. And then along comes the devil with the first temptation. Jesus hasn't eaten anything and he's hungry. The devil sees an opportunity to test where Jesus will use his divine powers to provide food for his human body. So he goads Jesus. "Surely, if you really are the Son of God, your father wouldn't want you to starve. Go on, change this stone into bread." Such a little thing. Isn't this the way temptations begin? Just one loaf, then another. Jesus gives a short, sharp answer from Scripture. "Man shall not live on bread alone." And the rest of the verse explains why. "But on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus does not deny the need for material things that the body needs, but it's not enough. How many people have all the material possessions they could possibly need and feel empty? If we are preoccupied with bodily pleasures, food, drink, clothes, material possessions, we don't open ourselves up to a higher goal. Lent is the time to clear space for God to fill us. So this Lent, let us reject the temptation to think only of satisfying our bodies. Let us choose to spend time with God, and we can do that through fasting, like Jesus. Fasting is a letting go of what stops us getting closer to God. The reordering of our appetites can be a route to self-knowledge and liberation from compulsions. So might fasting be a practice that you'll take up? Less food, more fasting, less indulgence, more God time? The devil doesn't succeed in tempting Jesus. So he goes to the next stage, the next level, the high level. He takes Jesus to a high place and he says, "Jesus, look down over all these kingdoms. They can all be yours on one condition. You have to worship me." So the devil is imitating the time when God shows Moses the promised land from the top of Mount Pisgah. This temptation is to receive power over all nations and to become king of kings. In short, the devil is offering Jesus a shortcut to establishing his kingdom on earth. But Jesus rebukes the devil. "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." He rejects worshiping the devil because wholehearted service of God excludes any allegiance with the devil. And this is not the type of kingdom Jesus intends to have. This is not the way he will be wielding power. We live in a world full of power-crazy people, hungry for political, financial, social and territorial power, where those without power are being crushed. Rather than despair, let's focus on what we can do. All people matter. We are all created in God's image. And that means putting our money where our mouth is. We are called to be thoughtful and generous givers. So this Lent, let us give generously to the needy and the poor as a second spiritual practice, acknowledging the dreadful disparity of distribution of wealth and the recent hasty removal of funding for the most vulnerable in the world. So that doesn't work. The devil doesn't manage to trick Jesus, so he takes him to the top of the pulpit, of the, not the pulpit, the top of the, Jerusalem. Just imagine. Here I am, I've arrived in Jerusalem. I've never actually given a sermon from up here. Father William, you have, I know. So, here I am. Actually, this is quite an amazing view. So, here we are. We're in Jerusalem. I'm at the very, very top of the temple. I am at the center of God's religion, Jerusalem, and I'm now in the holy place where God is. So, the devil suggests Jesus throws himself from the top of the temple because he to test whether God will rescue him. And that's what Psalm 20:91 was saying. God will rescue us. So this is the devil saying, go on, give it a go. Let's see if God will rescue you. If you really are the Son of God, he definitely will come. You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to try that trick. Anyway, Jesus doesn't either. Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus refuses to have anything to do with this ridiculous gimmick. Trust in God doesn't mean acting stupidly to force God into doing a spectacular rescue. Seeking honour is not of itself negative. But when it's an inflation of ego, it leads to nothing but trouble. Instead, we need to focus on what God desires for us. When we surrender our will to God in prayer, we receive the greatest good. Prayer is coming into the consciousness of God within us and allowing God to transform us by discerning false attachments and letting go, recognizing our false ego and letting go, facing our fear and letting go. So let us find more time this Lent to pray as a spiritual exercise that God will enter our hearts to clear away all that prevents us from coming close to God. So the temptations ended unsuccessfully from the devil's point of view. He departs. And here we are once again with Jesus. The purpose of the temptations was to test Jesus' humanity and his devotion to God. Jesus proved himself faithful, answered the temptations with scripture, and never appeased the devil. No one is exempt from temptation, not even Jesus. We are unlikely to be tempted in the same way as Jesus, but as Christians, we will be tested at the points which matter most in our lives and vocation. Temptations come in different shapes and sizes. Very often they come in the shape of disturbing and desolate thoughts. I'm never going to be any good at this. Everyone else is doing all right. We can seek God's mercy for everyone else, but we are unable to shake off the feelings of deep unworthiness in ourselves. These disturbances are not the prod of awakening conscience, but tricks of a spirit of fear and self-condemnation, which take us away from a right relationship with God. So how do we counter these disturbances? On each occasion Jesus was tempted, he sought guidance and confirmation from the Hebrew scriptures. Man shall not live on bread alone. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. We can do the same. Try having some favorite text that you know you can go back to for guidance and for support. And we can follow the spiritual practices of Lent, of fasting, giving money to the needy, and praying. We fight temptation when we remember how much God loves us, so much that he sent his only Son for our salvation. When we bring everything to God in prayer. When we love God with all our heart, our mind and our soul. Let us pray. Lord, I am weak and vulnerable to temptation, but I trust in your strength. Please help me to resist, guide me away from paths of sin, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.